Hi, I'm Cynthia Rothrock.
I'm Casper Van Dien.
Hi, this is Mike Grell, and I'm here with the Long Box guys, whoever the hell they are.
We're on the road, we're going home, to the place where wild nerds roam, with pretty girls and dudes in caves. Going to cons is our escape. It's like Mega Beach in a star-filled sky, where you can meet all your heroes and none of them fly.
Hey man, this is Kevin Smith, Silent Bob from all those terrible Jay and Silent Bob type pictures, and you are listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box. Comics talk for comics fans.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Long Box, guys. My name is Thomas Strange, and with me, as always, is my good friend LT. LT, how you doing, and what are you drinking?
I'm doing fine, and I'm drinking some Suntory whiskey.
Suntory whiskey, very tasty. That was racist. That was racist, Tom. Sorry. Mike, how you doing, and what are you drinking?
Well, I'm drinking a hard root beer tonight, but I'm not doing well, Tom. Can I tell you why?
Sure, please. If there's something you need to talk about, this is a safe space.
Well, over last weekend at Pensacon, I found out something disturbing about myself. And now, apparently, I've been using a word that is offensive to some of our listeners, and I want to apologize. But in order for me to explain, I'm going to have to use the word again. And I did not even realize that I was using this word to refer to...
Mike, let me just stop you right there. Mike, are you being a sweet, sweet, moist, very virile, very supportive, built to last, strong pussy?
No, I am not. And let me explain why. But I'm glad you mentioned that. The word is pussy. And I have used the word pussy to describe Josh many times in the past. And
we did a full count? Because I've gotten up to about 12.
And again, I apologize. I never want to offend anybody on this podcast. We're out here trying to have fun, and we don't want to offend anybody. But with that being said, let's talk about the etymology of the word pussy, shall we?
Mr. Wizard, let's set the Wayback Machine to 2022 BC and
actually,
go.
We only have to go back to Middle English, so we're talking around the 1200s or so. The word pussy is a noun derived from the adjective pusillanimous, which means timid. In the 1700s, they started using the word puss to refer to cats or rabbits. It did not actually mean the word that we associate it with, the vagina, until the early 19th century. So when we use the word pussy to mean timid or lacking courage, we're actually using the correct version of it. We are not referring to a woman's vagina. I apologize to my readers or our listeners because I will try not to use the word pussy. And if I do, please understand that I am referring to a person being timid, not as the feminine genitalia, except in the case of Josh because I think he's moist and fuckable.
How did you make pussy boring?
You're welcome.
Thank you. This is a direct response to one of our listeners who did confront Mike about using it, but she was more mad that he was using it as a pejorative. If you're calling someone a part of the female anatomy, it's not really a compliment usually in our society, even though I've seen a penis take the lightest of hits and just drop people to their knees in tears. And we don't see the same thing if someone gets hit in their lady bits. So, vaginas stronger than dicks. I think we're all agreed about that, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I've seen women's gymnastics. Those things can take a pounding.
Yeah. The uneven bars. You win.
Uneven bars.
Women, you win. We respect you.
There's no way guys can do the uneven bars when they just slam their pelvic into that bottom bar and swirl around. We're not doing it. No, sir.
Nope. Well, let's talk about Pensacon.
Well, part of that is because that is what happened at Pentagon, and that was one of the highlights for me. We're going to talk about some of the highlights and some of the lowlights and some of the best things that happened. And having one of our listeners come up to you and say, stop using pussy in the pejorative, was one of my highlights. So thanks for covering that for me. And thank you, Dean, for being smart enough to and you know, brave enough to call us out on our own stuff. Not only are you a fan, but you also help educate us. So we really do appreciate that.
And we appreciate you enough to know that your name is Diane, not Dean.
Really? I'm going to call her Dean until I die.
I mean me, Josh, and LT know what her name is.
Fine. I know her as the very, very nice lady who brought me a desk full of chocolate chip bread pudding.
Oh, so good. Homemade.
It was so good.
Homemade bread pudding.
Well, no, it wasn't, but okay.
Shut up. It was homemade, as far as you know.
I actually thought she was trying to kill two of the members of the podcast.
I know.
We have two diabetics, and she brings this hammock full of bread pudding. I'm just going to keep changing the measurements. Bed full of bread pudding to our B&B. And hung out with us. It was so much fun to do that. So let's talk about some of the highlights, some of the lowlights, some of the things that could be better at Pentagon, some of the things that we would change. There are not many. Steve Wise is a great guy, and he does a terrific job out there. I think we're all agreed about one thing. Pentagon is growing so big that, unfortunately, it might be outgrowing the Bay Center. I hope it's not. I hope we can find some more venues to play off of. But, boy, it's getting big. And, guys...
It is.
Yes. It's getting larger every year that we go to it, but I still love it. It's one of my favorite cons, if not my favorite con.
It is. It's fantastic.
Yeah. All right. I tell you what, everyone, we're going to go around the table, round robin this thing. Mikey, what are your favorite highlights? Go ahead.
I think you moderating the Black Lightning panel with Tony Isabella and Trevor Von Eden, the creators of Black Lightning, I think you did a phenomenal job. And the fan interaction, asking the questions, the responses by the artist and writer were all great. Hopefully, we're going to be able to get some audio of that panel to put up on our channel soon.
Drink, because that was my number one, too. I love talking to Trevor Van Eenen. I love, of course, talking to our good friend Tony Isabella. My favorite part about that panel was I was dressed as Black Lightning, but I had taken off my tiara.
You were dressed as Luke Cage.
I was dressed as Luke Cage. I took off the tiara. Trevor Von Eden, who was drawing Luke Cage, started talking about Luke Cage, and he didn't realize that I was dressed from head to toe as Luke Cage until I put the tiara back on, and we had a pretty good laugh about that. A total gentleman. We're very gracious in retelling stories they probably have hashed out a dozen times. We finally got to maybe not the center of the Black Lightning controversy because some of them were surprised by our research that we found. But we had a good time.
Yeah, they were shocked to find out that Black Vulcan not only was a ripoff of Black Lightning, also perhaps based on one of Trevor Von Eden's sketches that he did for the Black Lightning character.
That sketch is a dead. It's spot on, except for the little twirlies on the head thing.
Yeah.
All right. Tommy, what was one of your big highlights?
One of my big highlights was when a fan came up to us and said that they went to the diversity panel thinking that it was being done by us and was disappointed when it wasn't us that were giving the panel. That was one of my highlights. I did go to the diversity panel and I enjoyed it, but I did find it a little distressing that the moderator did not have as good a control over the panel as he should have. And he let some of the artists, co-opt the time and not let all of the artists contribute as much as they wanted to.
Also, it wasn't really an academic talk. We usually do mostly, you know, we get into it. I mean, we put up slides, we show history, some of the academia behind it, some of the research we've done. This one was more of a round robin style take on different artists and what they have encountered when it comes to diversity in comic books. So it was a little different also. But I'll have to agree, the moderator lost control at a couple times and was doing his best.
So a little hint, if you are the moderator for a diversity panel, don't confuse the two black artists that you have on the panel who look nothing alike.
Well, they're both men.
And that's where the similarities end.
Pretty close.
And one of them didn't show up.
Right.
To the moderator's defense a little bit, he was sitting right in front of a placard with the wrong name on it. But I would have done at least enough research to know what they look like.
Yeah, no, because the artist tried to sit at the correct spot, and the moderator and sent him to the wrong spot with the wrong name tag.
I know. I'm trying to be nice. The guy was,
he could have just looked at the Pensacon app, which was phenomenal because it has the photos of everybody who's going to be there, including the artists and writers. So the Pensacon app, I'm going to give that a big thumbs up. I wish, you know, I know Dragon Con has that. I think all the major cons are starting to go to those apps, and those are really good. It lets them, people give feedback onto how those panels were, and it's easy to keep track of your schedule and where you want to be when.
Yeah, and also when the next panel that you want to go to is happening. It gives you a little alert. And if there's a game you want to play, it gives you a little alert. It's terrific.
And panels were actually fairly easy to get into, except for our stupid supervillains and why we love them. That was not only standing room only. They were people sitting on the sides of the hall also. So that was really great.
And as long as you're saying that, let's go into one of my highlights. I love that particular panel. That one's always a lot of fun. I think there's something I would change, and I think next year maybe we should have a huge bank, and we should just stock it full of all these pictures so we don't have to look for them on the web. You know, I mean, 300 different supervillain pictures in one folder, and I think we'd be able to pull up almost everybody. I mean, from Hellcow to the Codpiece, to Kite Man, to Calendar Man, to the Condiment King, to Pastepot Pete, to the House That Bleeds Dough, for God's sakes. We talked about some pretty shitty supervillains, the Polka Dot, and what was the other Polka Dot-based villain? The Spot?
Yeah.
Spot. He was actually kind of scary in a couple ways.
Yeah, he's a deadly assassin.
He's a kick-ass.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's not that funny.
I think we got a vote, even though he looks stupid, that people were digging him.
Yeah, I think we brought a couple of people. I think we changed some hearts and minds.
Yes.
Is what we did. Hearts and minds, my friends. All right, so that was one of my big highlights. Mikey, back up to you. What do you got?
The fans who brought us whiskey for Last Nerd Standing. We were getting pretty drunk during the – we were already drunk to start with, but we were getting pretty darn drunk as it went along.
That was – so we have a standing rule in our little game show in which if you bring us a shot, you win a prize and you go to the final round. That just happens. You're there. We didn't even get to our last series of questions, which we should have because they were pretty funny. But, yeah, we got really pretty rocked during that. It was like 9:30 at night. We should have stayed because what happened next would have been one of Josh's favorites when he watched a John Barrowman in nothing but his pajama bottoms hit the bar with a cardboard cutout of himself and start making out with it. That is epic at the level of like all purple robes in World of Warcraft epic. That was awesome.
I think our friends from geekorthodox.com said it best, that John Barrowman is the king of Comic-Con prom.
He is. One of my favorite things I've ever heard about John Barrowman was said on a BBC show years ago, and it said, John Barrowman will have sex with you. Not because John Barrowman's a slut, but because John Barrowman can find beauty in everyone. I love that. Love that.
We ran into one of the guys from the Crew de Who out of the New Orleans area who were there on display, and he was so happy. He had his photo. He was dressed like Captain Jack Harkins, had his photo with John Barrowman, who that day dressed like Wonder Woman and had had the guy dressed like Captain Jack bent over and was pounding on him. It was amazing.
John Barrowman, you are the king of Comic-Con proms, and we salute you, sir.
Salute.
Salute. All right, so that was Mikey's. LT, what do you got next?
I had a fantastic time talking to the creators of Blue Devil, Paris Cullins, Dan Mishkin, and Gary Cohn. I had a very lengthy conversation with Gary Cohn talking about classical fencing. We just talked about stuff for, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes. Great guy. Fantastic guy to talk to. Just had a fantastic time talking to them. I've never read the Blue Devil comic, but I think I'm going to pick up some issues and try it out. Apparently, it was kind of like a precursor to Ambush Bug and Deadpool and all that kind of funny, outside-the-norm comic book humor. Very slapsticky.
Yeah, you can pick up Blue Devil really cheap. You can go into any discount comic book bin and pick it up. That's how I got the whole series. But it is. It's a fun time. It's a good time. The only thing about the panel on the Blue Devil that was upsetting to me is they did not know who Grizzly was. How are you?
That was funny.
Because they were like, guy trapped in a suit. Blue Devil was probably the first guy like that. And I'm like, what about Grizzly? They're like, who's Grizzly?
You mean
who Grizzly is? You guys are the professionals. How do you not know who Grizzly is?
Wasn't Rhino also trapped in his suit?
Yeah.
Yeah. It wasn't even I don't think it was like the top four.
It could be said that Iron Man was trapped in the suit early on because he really did need to wear the chest plate at the time.
All right. It's going to sound schmarmy, but I really loved our Airbnb where we got to hang out together. We had a great barbecue one night. We had friends over. Mike almost broke that guy's leg. We did our old wrestling moves for people not in the know. Mike Manning, Joshua Opper, and I, and LT all used to own a wrestling company. LT did a bit where he was an evil bell ringer. Mike was he was a couple different characters. And I was an evil wrestling priest known as the Missionary Man. And we got to show off some of those old moves to some of our new friends, including most of, if not all of, Eddie and the Whirlpools.
Yeah.
Which is also another big highlight for me, just seeing Eddie and the Whirlpools play. Great nerdy rock band, not quite on the level of Kirby Crocker yet, but getting there, getting that following, getting that momentum.
Yeah, I enjoyed going to the Eddie and the Whirlpools concert that they had the night before over at the Back Porch Lounge.
Absolutely. We should get that better promoted next year.
Yeah, just if you ever get a chance to go to the Back Porch Lounge, don't eat there.
Yeah, no. Don't eat there. Food was horrible.
The booze did the trick.
The booze did work, but selection was limited, and food was horrible. Yeah.
Yeah, and let me just say this. To my good friend LT, whom I love like a brother, I would take a bullet for you. You're my friend. If you ever embarrass me by being in a dive bar and ordering Basil Hayden scotch again, I will.
Bourbon.
Oh, I hate you with the fire of 100 red hot suns, you piece of shit! You don't order top notch anything in a bar that's underneath a Best Western hotel.
Jason.
Same thing! You monkey with glasses on. Shaved baboon. You man-child. You everything but the word I won't use anymore. Wait a minute. Mike, I thought you said you're drinking a hard root beer.
It is.
All right. What's in it?
Vodka. I spiked it.
Oh, good. Okay. Just making sure because I saw one of those hard root beer things in your hand. Getting drunk with you guys, that's another big one for me. Man, we got wrecked a couple nights.
Yeah, it was a good time.
The food. How about the food, guys?
Oh, yeah.
Man, besides eating at what was that bar called again?
Hop Jack's?
Yes, yeah. Hop Jack's.
Don't go to Hop Jack's.
No, avoid that. I gave it a 1-star Yelp review only because
the best review
it.
It's ever gotten.
Yeah, it was bad.
But we went to McGuire's Pub. Delicious.
McGuire's Pub, fantastic. Hopjacks. Hopjacks doesn't even deserve one star.
Josh, I, and the Linos went to a place called Pot Roast and Port, which was delicious also. Unbeknownst to you guys, after you left, we helped the Linos break down their booth, and they came back and stayed with us that night at our Airbnb. They were very careful not to take off their shoes because Tammy now knows I have a foot fetish, and by God, you don't want to be around me in an Airbnb barefoot. It's just – it's probably a bad idea. I'm talking to you two guys.
That's why I was walking around barefoot the whole weekend.
Because you're a tease. That's why you tease.
No, I'm not a tease. I'll deliver.
Just keep your socks on, and we can still check off the box for straight.
That's right.
Not that there's anything wrong with that. Anybody have – there's so few things that I would say we can improve. We probably can improve the check-in process. It was a little slow this year.
I'm going to change my mind on the best moment of the con was after the diversity panel that we were not a part of. When we got to take the ride with the rest of the VIPs into the back entrance of the con, because we were standing there talking to the participants and they just assumed we were part of the panel. So they invited us on board the van. That was probably the best because we avoided a large wait to get into the con.
Yeah, plus we got to get on an elevator right next to Adrian Barbeau, who was totally sweet and signed my copy of the Cannonball Run, which was very nice of her. And
you got to talk to legendary artist Jose Delato.
He was terrific. We talked a little bit about his efforts to get kids in this thing called cartooning camp back in the day, and his take on Wonder Woman and what his thoughts on diversity was. He was a delight. A little hard of hearing. He's 86 now. So I don't know how many more panels he's actually going to do, because he told me, and I don't think in confidence because he said it quite loudly, that he didn't really enjoy them because he was having trouble hearing. He kept leaning over to Nen on the panel, and she was repeating things to him. It was a little difficult for him. But, man, I loved his Wonder Woman drawings. Oh, he talked a little bit about the Cuba school, too. Ugh, this dog.
It's actually Jose Delbo.
Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize.
What'd you say?
I don't remember, but I probably screwed it up.
That's okay. Yeah. Sammy's in knows what she's doing.
That's right. I know. Yeah, I got one of his classic Batman pieces at Dragon Con when we went a couple of years ago. He's a fantastic artist.
And but, a superior human being. A nice guy to talk to, too.
Really nice guy.
We did not... I was going to say, we did not mention all the art that Tom and Remy bought. I only bought one piece from Steve Butler, a fantastic Dr. Fate that he drew for me in my book.
I also bought one piece of art. I have a sketch of Hit Girl trying to teach me how to become an assassin, and I am horrified. Really good drawing. All right, I think that's going to be about doing for this this whole episode. This was kind of an abbreviated one because Josh isn't here with us and because Tug is in such a mood because we have a big storm going on outside.
If you get a chance, there's still time to donate to the Jeremy Dale Skyward Omnibus Kickstarter. It has reached its goal, so we want to congratulate Kelly Dale on achieving that. We'd also like to thank Kirby Crackle for providing our geek rock music. You can check them out at kirbycracklemusic.com. And if you want awesome t-shirts or any other kind of geeky wear, go check out our friends at geekorthodox.com.
Geekorthodox.com.
That's right. Purveyor of fine geeky wear.
And we had a great time with them. Always good to see them. I just want to plug our Patreon page real quick. Our Patreon page features a couple of things that you won't get on the normal podcast, one of them being something we call the GOAT, greatest of all time. This week we talk about the greatest archers of all time. Spoiler alert, it's not who these two idiots think it is. And it's not Archer from Archer. We're talking more about Hawkeye and Green Arrow, Merlin, those kind of archers. And we have a pretty animated discussion. Usually we come up with a consensus, but not this week. So to listen to that podcast, go to our Patreon page, give us just a couple of dollars a year. $1 a month actually gets it to you. And we'll be happy to let you listen to that. That's Patreon, and just look for the Long Box Guys.
And thanks to all our new listeners who are listening not only on iTunes and Podbean, but also on Stitcher and Google Play. Welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, I didn't know how many people we have a lot of people on those platforms that we didn't even know about. So thanks, guys, and welcome to it. LT, you got anything to add?
No. You guys have covered it all. Just stay safe,
little man.
Just stay safe, and please give.
Please give. Remember, please give. For just the price of $1 beer a month, you can get an extra little podcast from us and really help us get this podcast out to everybody so everyone can hear the bring jackassery that is us. Thanks, and have a great day from the Long Box, guys.
And remember what Tom always says. Don't diss what you hate.
Promote what you love.
I was waiting for you.
And don't forget what Mike always says. LT.
This is like drunk history, but for comics.
Hey, quick question for you, Tom. Is this Josh's sector?
He's not here, so it must not be his sector. He's in some other sector doing some other really good work, I suppose.
Bye-bye.
Good on him. Good on him. All right, from all of us to all of you, we love you. Take care. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
We melt the highway miles away like sunfire. No stopping tonight.
So how much you bet that tugboat is going to start barking again during that episode?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. Let me go grab a beer.